In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 118, the First Commandment of the Church, to assist at Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. The image at the top shows in the center the people heading towards church, and the clock showing 5 minutes till nine. Around the border are the six holy days of obligation for the United States. And they are the Circumcision, January 1st, Ascension, 40 days after Easter, Assumption, August 15, All Saints Day, November 1st, Immaculate Conception, December 8th, and Christmas Day, December 25th, and then, of course, all Sundays. The caption reads, On holy days of obligation, just as on Sundays we must hear Mass and abstain from unnecessary servile work. If without any grave reason one fails to sanctify the holy days of obligation, he commits a mortal sin. Those obliged to work on holy days of obligation should at least hear Mass before going to their work. Catholic employers have a serious obligation of making it easy for those under them to sanctify holy days of obligation. All are children of the same eternal Father. What sin does a Catholic commit who through his own fault misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation? A Catholic who through his own fault misses Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation commits a mortal sin. The precept is not binding on one who must care for the sick or lives rather far from a church or who has urgent work or is ill. The first precept of the Church requires us to sanctify Sundays and holy days of obligation. On holy days of obligation, we render to God and the saints some of the honor due them. The early Christians celebrated many festivals so that they might keep alive the memory of certain events or benefits from God. The aim of instituting holy days is to have the faithful remember for all time the important events commemorated and to have them give praise and thanksgiving to God for them. This is why we should always try to celebrate holy days in a becoming manner. Some persons unhappily treat holy days as merely days to eat and drink and be merry, without regard for the occasion commemorated. The civil law does not recognize as holy days some of the church holy days of obligation. Factories, offices, and schools Factories, offices, and schools keep open on those days. But even if Catholics must go to work on such holy days, they should at least try to hear Mass. Numerous churches celebrate Mass at an early hour. Persons not obliged to work on holy days of obligation should avoid doing so, but those who must work need remember only our Lord's words, quote, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. From St. Mark chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. Which are the holy days of obligation in the United States? The holy days of obligation in the United States are these six. Christmas Day, December 25th. On this day we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ in the stable at Bethlehem. Quote, And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her first son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. From St. Luke chapter 6, verse 7. Second, the circumcision, January 1st. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised according to the custom of the Jews. Quote, and when 8 days were fulfilled for his circumcision, his name was called Jesus. From St. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. In Hebrew, Jesus means Savior. The name most commonly given to the Messiah by the prophets was Emmanuel, which means God with us. The third holy day of obligation is Ascension Thursday, 40 days after Easter. 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, our Lord ascended into heaven from Mount Olivet. Quote, now he led them out towards Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, as he blessed them, that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. From St. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. Again, another quote. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. From Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The fourth holy day of obligation is the Assumption, August 15th. After her death, the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary was reunited to her incorrupt body, and she was taken up to heaven by the ministry of angels. No one has ever claimed possessing any relic of Mary's body. If she had not been assumed into heaven, would not the apostles who revered her highly have kept her relics? I must make a comment there. It is not a dogma that Mary died at all. It is not a dogma that she did not die. The dogma says specifically that Mary was taken into heaven, body and soul, without suffering the least amount of decay. And I would argue, at least philosophically, that death, the separation of the soul from the body, is a decay. And I would prefer to think that Mary, because she was free from original sin, did not have to suffer the consequences of original sin. And I know there are those who will argue that Christ, the Son of God, was free from original sin and he chose to die. He chose to take our sins upon himself. It was for our sins that Christ died. The Blessed Mother is not the Savior. She did not take our sins upon herself. So therefore, she was not, in my argument, you might say, she was not bound to suffer death, but was taken into heaven, body and soul, without suffering the least corruption or disintegration, I guess, if you will. And I don't really want to argue that point because there are many who want to say, well, she definitely did die, and there are pious books that said she dies. And I said, well, there's also pious books that says she didn't die. So you can argue it either way. And I simply looked at the dogma, the declaration, just simply says that Mary was taken into heaven, body and soul, without the least corruption or decay. And if you want to accept that she died and did not suffer corruption or decay in her body, then I'm not going to argue with you any further. And we'll continue. The fifth holy day of obligation, All Saints Day, November 1st. On All Saints Day, we honor the memory of all the saints in heaven and implore their intercession. I didn't mention it in Kentucky, but since Friday is All Saints Day. Friday is a holy day of obligation. Therefore, it is like a Sunday, and we are not bound to abstain from meat on Friday because it is a holy day of obligation. Some seem to be pretty happy to hear that, but I did remind them, even if they cannot go to Mass, that they must still do something to keep the day holy. It's not just meant for eating and drinking. The sixth one, the Immaculate Conception, is December 8th. God himself proclaimed Mary's spotless purity in paradise, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The archangel Gabriel announced it, calling her full of grace. Christians throughout the ages have called Mary immaculate. The dogma was declared by the Pope in 1854. It is an article of faith to believe that Mary was conceived entirely free from original sin. There are four other holy days of obligation in the Universal Church: the Feast of Epiphany, Corpus Christi, Saint Joseph, and Saints Peter and Paul. With the approval of the Holy See, these four feasts are not holy days of obligation in the United States. But in their place, two other feasts are days of precept: the Feast of the Circumcision and the Immaculate Conception. What else does the Church oblige us to do on holy days of obligation? The Church obliges us to abstain from servile work on holy days of obligation, just as on Sundays, as far as we are able. And we covered unnecessary servile work earlier in this, and it says here that see pages 204 and 205 for unnecessary servile work. Okay. Next paragraph. Why were holy days instituted by the Church? Holy days were instituted by the Church to remind us of the mysteries of our religion and of the important events in the lives of Christ and of his Blessed Mother, and to recall to us the virtues and the rewards of the saints. The Church appoints festivals in honor of our Lord in order that we may recall the principal mysteries of our redemption, thank God for the graces received through these mysteries, and make them bear fruit in our lives. The feasts of our Lord that do not necessarily fall on a Sunday are Christmas, the Circumcision, and the Ascension. Easter and Pentecost always fall on a Sunday. Other feasts of our Lord that should be properly celebrated are the Epiphany, January 6, and Corpus Christi, the Thursday after Trinity Sunday. The Epiphany celebrates the adoration of the newly born child by the Magi, the wise men from the East, Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthasar. The feast is called the Epiphany, or Manifestation, because it celebrates the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The festivals in honor of Our Lady and the saints are prescribed that we may reverence them as God's friends and profit by their intercession and example. Whenever able, we should try to hear Mass on other important holy days, even though they may not be of obligation. Two of these important feasts are the Feast of St. Joseph on March 19th and the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul on June 29th. I might also suggest, though it doesn't mention it here, principal patrons for our place are those whom we maybe have been named after, or our parish church is named after. Those principal feasts should be treated with greater honor and respect because of the patronage that we owe, or that we have, for those particular saints or days. Do we have any questions or comments? That was pretty straightforward, I think. I did make a few comments as we went along the way there, but I have nothing else. Then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.